This is the Athletic Hockey Show.
What's up, everybody? It's another Thursday edition of the Athletic Hockey Show. We are all back together again. It's Haley, Max, and Sean. I am still in Utica, but I had some time. Yeah, I'm still here. That's the good news, I guess. That's the bad news, but the good news is that I had some time before the quarterfinals start on Thursday to do the show. What's up, guys? Did you miss me last week?
We did.
Anyone want to cut? You're both in Pittsburgh and I'm in Utica. You guys should just come on down here for the next 4 days.
Yeah, we think you're ducking us, but we mostly want to know if you're ready to pledge allegiance to the United States of America and specifically to Kirsten Sims.
Listen, I just wrote a big story about the American player who everyone on Canada hates. So I feel like I might have to pledge allegiance to America. Because the Canadians have shunned me out.
I think I've been waiting for you to write that story on Abby Murphy since the 2022 Olympics. There were a couple shifts there where I was like, oh, I can't wait until someone writes a very long story about what a pain in the ass she is.
Yeah.
Here we are. It finally happened.
Yeah. Southside of Chicago, like kind of the only real agitator in women's hockey in the sense of like she will take runs at people and she'll hack at you, and when she's skating the bench she's gonna throw a shot if the refs aren't looking, and there were some people who didn't appreciate the story, and I have to think that this means growth for women's hockey, that like I can write a story about Matthew Tkachuk and Abby Murphy and people in both comment sections tell me that I'm an asshole for it. And I think that's really great. I think that speaks to the growth of the women's game.
A comment section is full of people saying that the Tkachuks have bad parents and that Abby Murphy's mom and dad should be ashamed of themselves and whatever. This is growth.
That's why I jumped into the comments to call Haley an asshole.
Yeah, it was actually Max B who was saying you should be ashamed of yourself, but go America.
Bax Moltman.
Yeah. Yeah, but Kirsten Sims is like unbelievable. I was at the Frozen Four, and for people who maybe didn't watch the game, Sims scored the OT winner in the Canada-USA game to finish the preliminary round, so the Americans get the number one seed at the tournament heading into the medal rounds. That was the best 0-0 game that I think I've ever been at. That was, I think, the fastest and most physical I've ever seen these two teams play against each other. And I've watched a lot of Canada-USA games, which has been so cool to see, like, the way that the level of play has been raised. I was talking to some players about it. Like, the U.S. team has a bunch of college kids, like Kirsten Sims, who's just unbelievable. She scored 75 points in college this season in 39 games. Like, it's gross. but all the other players are, you know, at their peak performance because they've been playing in the PWHL all season. So I like, you know, Canada-US rivalry has always been unbelievable, and it like somehow got even better because they're all more well-conditioned than they've ever been. So that was a sweet game. I think it's funny to see people kind of overreact to that. There was a lot of, this is just my own little rant here. Sorry, everybody. I always see a lot of complaints that the U.S. like went younger and brought in all these college players and like Canada is old. But like if Kirsten Sims was Canadian, she'd be on Team Canada. It's not like Troy Ryan decided to not take Kirsten Sims on the roster. Like there's just a lot of stud American kids in college right now. And Robileski kind of had to take them because they lost to Team Canada in 3 straight gold medal games. And we're like, let's maybe do a reset here. So it's interesting, but we'll see what happens in a gold medal game.
What channel will that game be on?
Well, if you are in Canada, every single game is on TSN and you get to listen to like the wonderful Cheryl Pounder and Kenzie Lalonde.
What about in the United States? What channel is this game on?
I guess it just depends if you pay for NHL Network.
what if you'd like to stream the game and you don't have a cable package?
Fire up a VPN and try to get on TSN. Like, it's yeah, it's, you know what?
Go to buttstreams.fart and get a virus and have your social security number stolen so you can watch US Canada. It's the only way to do it.
It's super, honestly, like, it's I try not to be all like doom and gloom about stuff sometimes, and I'm trying not to just because women's basketball and just like basketball as a whole is like not a great comparable sport to hockey. Like, hockey's never going to hit basketball levels, like, in any sense, whether it's college, pro, women's, men's. So it's like a tough comparable, but it's like very hard to be sitting here at this tournament and seeing people who can't access games in this country to watch like the best rivalry in this sport and know that there was almost 19 million people watching South Carolina, Iowa. And it's just like, there's an appetite for elite women's sport, like, if it's available to people. And like, that has always been the problem. Like, we're seeing it with the PWHL now that there's actual arenas to go to and YouTube streams and TV deals. Like, people are watching. Almost 2 million people watched that first game that I was a broadcaster on, which is like crazy, because it was there for people. And now, like, it just feels like such a come down from, or such a disappointment after like all this growth in the PWHL, and we're seeing the momentum in women's college basketball and like women's soccer, and then we go to like the biggest women's hockey tournament in the season internationally, and like people can't watch the games on TV, and I just don't think that's acceptable any longer.
The NHL shouldn't show NHL games on NHL Network. They shouldn't show regular season Stars versus Coyotes on that network because of the overall situation in terms of people not being able to access it, B, not having it in the first place. Then you think about they're blacking out local games. It's a joke. It's a total embarrassment. So the fact that you're talking about elite, high level women's international games on that now is even more. It's even more ridiculous. It made sense at some point, right? There was a time where this tournament made sense to put on NHL Network. We are past that point. Like, the NHL was gonna shutter the network last year. They were gonna close it, and then they're like, yeah, fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a situation that, or it's a circumstance that just that works for nobody, because people who have cable can't get it, and how many people don't have cable, and then you have women's, like, the larger community of women's hockey fans is now accustomed to being able to watch stuff on YouTube or whatever. PWHL games are so widely available. And now it's like, you can't watch Canada women and or Canada US unless you have whatever. So the seventh level cable tier from, and that's it. It's insanity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I can't.
TNT, one of the NHL broadcast partners, would be willing to scratch one night of showing Rogue One this week of the three times they're going to show it.
Yeah,
exactly. USA Canada.
Literally, Max and I were eating dinner last night at a bar and watching Rogue One on a TV in front of us. I'm like, how is this? This
like is Star partner. Wars?
Yes.
I was like, is that like an F1 docuseries or something? I do think some of the games are streamed on ESPN Plus. I saw something about that, but like, it's just not, it's like kind of unclear and not super accessible. Like, while I'm sitting here in Utica, excuse me, I'm sitting here at this tournament and like, I can't just throw on a game before I go to the rink, right? Like, there's four quarterfinals today. The first one's at 11. We're recording the show at 9. So if I'm delayed, I can't just throw the game on and then head to the rink at intermission, because it's like, I can't put on, TSN's broadcasting every single game, like with their A team, you know, like, yeah. It's amazing the way that TSN is committed to international women's hockey. but I don't have TSN right now because I'm sitting in Utica for the tournament. So that's my little gripe. I think these women deserve better. I think I always just go back to, I did that anonymous player poll before last year's Women's World Championships. And I asked them, like, what's the biggest issue facing women's hockey? And almost everybody said visibility. And very specifically, a few players said the NHL network does not do us many favors. So like, this isn't just a me problem. Like, the players know it too. So we'll see what happens as the women's pro game continues to grow. Maybe they'll start making some changes when it comes to world championships in the future.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. When you're trying to grow a business, the caliber of person you bring in to help you do that is really important. And LinkedIn makes it really easy to interview the right people for the role, quality people. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/NHL show. That's linkedin.com/NHL show to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Sean, you mentioned an Arizona Coyotes game.
Mm-hmm.
Big news on Wednesday afternoon. The NHL and the Arizona Coyotes are preparing for the possibility of a move to Utah in time for the 2024-25 season. According to Elliot Friedman, an announcement could come as soon as April 15th. Pierre LeBrun and Chris Johnson had a story at The Athletic 2 that said the NHL updated its board of governors on the situation with a memo on Wednesday that said there have been moving parts in the situation. And a lot of sources have stressed to all of the insiders that no final decisions.
Literally.
Every single story has the same.
This is a feeding frenzy, basically.
Hilarious. Every single story on this has the same sentence. Like, sources stressed that there has been no final decision made. For some backstory for listeners who maybe haven't been all in on the Coyote situation, the Coyotes have been playing at Mullett Arena, a 5,000-seat facility at the Arizona State campus. Alex Marullo, who owns the team, has been trying to finalize plans for an NHL-quality facility in Arizona. There was a big land auction coming up on June 27th to develop an arena space, an entertainment district in Phoenix, which I think everybody agrees is like the best place for a hockey team in the desert would be Phoenix. Meanwhile, Ryan Smith, he's the billionaire owner of the Utah Jazz and an MLS franchise too. He's been super public about his desire for a team in Salt Lake City, either as expansion or relocation. If this happens, I guess the NHL would essentially be the broker. So like, they would buy the Coyotes back and then sell the team to Smith Entertainment Corporation, which would then move the team to Utah. So that's kind of what's going on. Nothing's final. Got to stress that.
Are sources stressing that?
Sources are stressing that. Not to me. I don't have those kind of sources. But like, the NHL's gone so far, according to ESPN, to be mocking up two different schedules for next year. One with the Coyotes and one with the Utah Lady Jazz.
The Utah Lady Jazz. I mean, you have to, right? Because even if they win the land auction, we're talking 3 years. 3 more years. and Mullet Arena. I think this is the year. This seems like if you look at what Marty Walsh has said, you just look at kind of the vibe coming out of the Coyotes situation in Mullet Arena, especially for visiting players. Like, year two, the bloom is off the rose. Like, there was maybe some level of, you know, kitsch or entertainment value or fun factor there in year one. And now it's like, this is real. We are playing in a 4,800 seat arena, A, still, and B, even in best case scenario, as it relates to the Coyotes in Arizona, 3 more years. No, thank you. Like, it's crazy that's something that ever happened at all. And it just like it's crazy that the Oakland Athletics are kind of in a similar situation where they're going to be playing in a AAA. I can't believe that these are circumstances and situations that a professional sports league has willingly allowed their players like openly walked into for 2 years and been like, nope, this is fine. So the fact that the balloons just went off on Slack, it's very funny. So the fact that, you know, there's no end in sight. Best case scenario is they win the land auction, which is no slam dunk by everything I've read. And even then, 2027, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
In the Sierra Valley report, it almost made it sound like the idea at this point with the land auction might even just be to try to lure Arizona back to the NHL back to Arizona. Like, like almost, you know, Utah goes and then they win the land auction, they develop it, and then they try to bring, whether it's an expansion team or whatever else. And I can buy it because the fact that they've gone through with this mullet experiment is the clearest proof you could ever need that the NHL desperately wants a franchise there. But it's looking, I mean, that is a rather quick timeline, I guess we'd say, right? Like, when Atlanta lost the Thrashers, we were not talking about 4 or 5 years to get the Thrashers back. Although obviously it certainly sounds like there's momentum around Atlanta as well. I don't know how long it would be, but if they win that land auction after losing the Coyotes, it seems like Arizona's right back at the front of the line for expansion, does it not?
Yeah, definitely. That's what like a lot of the reports have suggested. I think I read the Sierra Valley report and the ESPN one, and they were both a little bit like stronger and like harder on this idea. And I think Elliot had this too, of just this idea that like if the Thrashers, if this happens, like if Marullo sells, like there could be something contractually that says like you will get to like bring back the Arizona Coyotes like with all the same IP and like jerseys and logos and da 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 within like you have like 5 years to bring the Coyotes back, basically.
It's like if you meet a certain set of requirements and you tick a certain set of boxes and hit a certain, you know, series of signposts, then you can have the Arizona Coyotes can come back. If this goes down, if the team ends up in Salt Lake City, I would be very, very, very interested to see what those circumstances are in terms of what it would take for Alex Marullo to own a second team.
I don't know about necessarily the same owner, but I like the concept of the trademark and all that staying in Arizona. Cool. I don't need another situation like the Hurricanes and the Whalers or the who are the Houston Oilers now? Is that the Tennessee Titans? Like, they can do the throwbacks, but the Houston Texans have no Houston Oilers IP rights. Like, that's weird to me. So I like the idea of the IP staying with Arizona. I think that's good for that fan base.
Yeah, for sure.
But obviously
those jerseys are great too. You know, so like
Marullo as an owner is one toxic.
Yeah. Totally. What do you guys think about, and you know what we should say too, like I know like the Coyotes are the butt end of a lot of jokes, but like this does suck. Like people are going to lose their jobs. Like people who cover that team, people who work in that facility, that it's just like a shitty situation, especially to just find out on social media, all these players' lives are going to be uprooted. I know it sounds like a lot of them weren't happy with the situation, but this isn't just like one trade or one, like two trades here. Like the entire team's going to, like now they're just being like, where are we going to live next year? And it doesn't sound like according to some of these reports, that there's really been any conversations with the players to this point, just the board of governors. So a lot of them are just being like, okay, well, our last game at Mullet Arena is next Wednesday, and then we don't really know where we're going to be. So let's see how that goes.
And then the other thing that did you see yesterday too? They sent Logan Cooley out there by himself after that game, and we're like, that was the extent of their media availability. They didn't actually open up. They didn't open up the locker rooms. They send the 19-year-old out there to answer a bunch of questions, and then said,
"Come on, seriously?"
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, so pretty sweet there. That like that. That's the kind of stuff. Honestly, that's the kind of stuff that happens continually with that franchise, where you're like, "Go away!" Like, let's hit the restart button, bring it back, have a different vibe at the top of things there, because that's crazy.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that happens, that like when players end up like not wanting to like be in that market long term or with that team, like you can trace it back to stuff like that. I'm not saying that's going to happen with Logan Cooley, that is not what I mean, but those are always the things that like happen when I think players and people just start to be like, okay, this is bullshit. I saw that Oilers media were already told, like, when you guys are here, like, there's not going to be any questions about this. And I saw one of the media people who tweeted that being like, what else are we going to ask them? It's like, he's not wrong, even if it's the delivery's a little bit mean.
Farhan said that, by the way. Farhan Lodgy from TSN. The team closed the dressing room post-game. The only player brought out was Logan Cooley, and the only person given an opportunity to ask him questions was from the team's TV crew. Like,
after last night's game against Canucks.
Yeah.
That's insane. Crazy.
Yep.
Yeah, that's brutal. Way to throw your...
The kinds of things you can do when you're not going to have a team for much longer.
They're in full-on Costanza mode, where it's like, we're just... Playing out the string here. It's a joke.
It sucks. It just makes me sad for a lot of people, though, too. I don't know. That just sucks. I'm an empath. What can I say? Why? What makes Salt Lake City the best option here? Sean, I know you've done a lot of work on looking at like potential expansion, whether it was Atlanta or Houston. I think Salt Lake City was in one of your stories, too. Why Utah? Why Ryan Smith? I think some of the answers are pretty simple, but can you take us through why this is the best option for the NHL right now?
Yeah, because Ryan Smith is super rich on a level that the Marullo Group is not. He wants the team. He has been a successful major sports franchise owner in the past. He's got that, you know, he's got that history baked in. And they have an arena plan. That's the biggest thing. That team can play in the Delta Center or whatever. I think it's back to being called the Delta Center, where the Jazz play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They can play there tomorrow if they have to. And Utah is hosting the Olympics and will be getting a new arena down the road, not too far. It's that simple. It's ownership and a viable arena situation. And both of those are better in Utah than they are in Arizona. Ryan Smith, a better sports owner than Alex Marullo. The arena situation, significantly better. And it seems like they actually won a team. And Salt Lake City is a growing... It's the population base is on the upswing. And people there have a history of caring about sports teams. You know, the Jazz are a success. The MLS team that Ryan Smith owns is successful. And they're capable of committing to that team, whether it's in the place that they play or financially or whatever, in a way that the Marullo Group and all the ownership groups before them haven't been able to.
Max, have you ever been to Salt Lake City?
I've been to the airport
one time. I went for a Michigan versus Utah college football game, and my report that the mountains are beautiful.
I was in I've only been in the airport. I've had layovers in the airport, and it's really nice. The airport is beautiful. They have these huge, huge glass windows that are, as opposed to, you know, wooden windows or steel windows.
Yeah, because the Pittsburgh airport is lacking in many ways.
Haley, you might appreciate this. When we were in Salt Lake City, and you can tell how long ago this was by what I'm about to say, we were able to just walk right into the high school where they shot High School Musical and just like take a bunch of pictures in the high school. It's like, you know, 22-year-olds or whatever, 21.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But did you like roll around on the ground where Troy Bolton had his like meltdown song?
My Facebook, I think on my Facebook, I still have like a header photo of us doing the like jump shot, like the freeze shot right in front of the,
Okay. I'm going to have to add Max on Facebook now. I'm going to reactivate my Facebook account to add Max on Facebook. You know who at The Athletic is the best like Facebook friend? It's Jeremy Rutherford.
He's great. He's the best.
Don't, if you're listening to this, don't start adding JR on Facebook.
You might as well just be telling people to add JR on Facebook.
I just doxed Jeremy Rutherford.
We're
address
revealing...
is beep, boop, 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 boop,
yeah. there comes the robot. Yeah, we're revealing Jeremy Rutherford as a very funny, nice dude. Can you imagine?
You know
that?
What? He honestly might be my favorite colleague at this company. I randomly veer off and talk about JR all the time.
I've talked about him on Facebook on the show before. I think me and Craig talked about it at one point. Like him writing letters to his wife when he does fun things on the road, like when he's hanging out in Vegas. It makes me laugh out loud. Like every single time.
His wife is a stronger woman than I am.
It's a great bit.
Very quickly before we wrap up here, Max, do you have a final thought on the kind of Coyotes situation and potential relocation to Utah? I feel like the biggest thing is that it just, like, I know the sources are stressing that this is not final, but it really does seem like at the very least, this is the priority that they're going to try to get sorted out. Like this seems like option number one for everybody at this point.
Max actually just dropped out.
I'm just
glad it seems like this is almost over. Like I'm 38 years old. I've been working in sports media professionally since 2008, and this is something, whether it was Glendale City Council meetings in 2009 or whatever, this is something that's been going on for literally the duration of my career. It's insane. And it finally seems like in one way or another, the resolution has arrived. And I'm honestly relieved about it. It sucks for everyone in Arizona, but like, this is insane that it's dragged on for this long and that it's been allowed to get to this point.
I am very curious what kind of the player fallout side of this will be. I mean, I don't know if Salt Lake maybe is a more attractive place for some, but and Arizona obviously staying isn't really an option for anyone who wants to remain an NHL player. But I think with a team move, that's kind of the first place my head goes, is what's the player fallout going to be on something like this?
All right. Well said, Max. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll dive in. There's two playoff spots left in each conference. Who's going to win them? Does anyone want them? I don't know. That's coming up next on the Athletic Hockey Show. We're not going to talk about the Hart Trophy race because I think everyone's done that every day this week. So,
is that true? Whoops.
Yeah. So... we're not going to do that today.
We started it last week. We're the first people to ever talk about the Hart Trophy on a podcast.
I think us three also did it like way earlier in the season too. So
we
it's just kind of been nonstop.
We had to ask Frankie about McKinnon. That was really just the excuse yesterday. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, that's fair. It's okay. All I know is that the Monday show's title was like Total Eclipse of the Heart, but it was like Heart for the Hart Trophy. So, which is actually kind of clever. It's clever-ish as far as like puns go, which I typically don't like at all. So
they're both
fine.
They're both pun guys too. Max, Laz and Ian both.
Yeah. That energy's not for me.
pun energy?
Yeah. Okay. I can't. I love, like, Ian is truly like the best human. But if you dad joke around me, I'm gonna freak out. So that's how I got my own show. Anyways, that's the inside scoop. How Ian and I broke up the Monday show. Six teams have clinched playoff spots in the Eastern Conference. It's the Rangers, Hurricanes, Bruins, Panthers, Maple Leafs, and the Tampa Bay Lightning. There are two spots left, one in the wild card, one in the Metro. Realistically, we're looking at the Islanders, Caps, Penguins, Red Wings, maybe the Flyers, even though they've kind of fallen off a cliff here, for the final two spots. It's pretty close. There is a huge game that is going to dictate, I think, a lot of what happens in this playoff race down the stretch. The Penguins and the Red Wings, they play tonight in Pittsburgh. Max is in town. He's not just there to hang out with Sean.
He's not?
Oh, no. How important is this game going to be, Max, for who potentially gets one of those two spots? Like, I know the Islanders and Washington are in this race too, and Washington has a big matchup against the Buffalo Sabres. I think that's tonight as well. So the Sabres winning that game in regulation is going to be really important for the Penguins and the Red Wings playoff lives. But it kind of seems to me like whoever maybe wins this game between those two teams ends up having a pretty good shot at making one of those final spots, whether in the Metro or the wild card.
Absolutely. I mean, this is kind of the story of the week for the Red Wings. They had a game head-to-head against the Capitals on Tuesday that they lost in regulation. That was a game where I believe the swing was, if they had won it, their playoff odds would have been 66%. With the loss, they dropped to like 27% on Money Puck. I don't know if Dom doesn't really publish the, like, you know, if this, then is, you just wait till the next morning. So I don't know what he would have had the swing at. I think he had him at 35% after the loss, so a little better. But Money Puck for this Penguins game, it's like, it's the same story again, right? If they win in regulation, their odds are 44%. If they lose, it's down to 7%. Jesus. Pittsburgh, same deal. If Pittsburgh wins in regulation, 60.5% to make the playoffs. If they lose, it drops to 17. So these are like the definition of those 4-point games that coaches love to talk about. First game, Capitals Red Wings lived up to the hype. It was a tremendous 2-1 game. It was really a 2-0 game. Patrick Kane scored in the final second. And I have every expectation that Red Wings Penguins will be very similar kind of game tonight.
Sean, what do you think of this matchup? You've been tracking it. You live in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah. Were you aware of that? I still think it's just a huge story of, so much of this is just because of Alex Nedeljkovic. That's just, I think everybody rightfully is gassing up Crosby because he's Sidney Crosby. He deserves it. But Alex Nedeljkovic playing at whatever 9.15, 9.20 clip, you know, huge saves, goals saved above expected numbers are great as well. Like, this doesn't happen without him. And we've seen this from him at various points over his career. We saw it when he came up with the Hurricanes for the first time. We saw it at points with Detroit. Is he consistent? Absolutely not. And that's what stops him from being, you know, a legit 1A starter. But can he get hot as hell for 10 games or 12 games and make stuff really interesting on that end? Absolutely. And I think that's a big part of it.
Is Sullivan just riding the hot hand with Nedeljkovic? Because when you were saying that, I was like, wait, did Jari get hurt again? But he's just, nope. He's just going with his backup right now.
Yeah, man, this is Ned's. It's Ned's net. It's very, very clear. He played both ends of it. Well, that's not true. There was one game in this streak that where it was a 2-3 nights, where it became very, very clear that, you know, this was no longer a timeshare situation. This is his net. For better or worse, and he's a big part of the reason, you know, that it was he played both ends of a back-to-back. That's what it was. He played against the Rangers and the Devils on April 1st and 2nd, and that was the signal where it was, you know, this isn't a timeshare anymore. This is ride or die with Alex Nedeljkovic.
I just want to say that ever since I kind of jokingly said, don't look now, but the Penguins are 9 points back of a playoff spot. They're 6-0-3. although, have you guys seen... I know that they've won a few and Washington's currently holding a spot, but did you guys see Lauren Oshie like sending out that thing on Instagram being like, need help for playoff jackets? And then they just went in the tank for like 2 weeks ever since after yep. She's like, hey, need recommendations for custom jackets. And then it went to hell. So maybe it was a little bit of Lauren Oshie's powers and not mine, but, Crosby's been the huge part too, obviously, as Sean mentioned. I know we said we weren't going to do this whole heart conversation thing, but he's got to get some votes if they make the playoffs, don't you think? Or am I just being a fangirl?
I guess he will. I mean, throw him at fifth, like I can understand, but there's a steep drop off after the top three and everybody else. So yeah, he'll get some points. I had this conversation with a colleague a couple days ago, and I'm like, if you have him at number three or whatever, you're crazy. But put him at five, and you know, I don't have a problem with that.
Max, what do you think about the Red Wings' chances here? I know you just went through the Money Puck numbers, and tonight is going to be a huge thing. You know, Patrick Kane was doing Showtime things, as you mentioned, with the game-winning goal. But Alex DeBrincat, who we really gassed up at the start of this show, like once we started doing the show in the beginning of the season, not today, you didn't miss it. One goal since March 1st.
Yeah.
What's going on there, and how big of an impact is that going to make on Detroit's chances here?
It's been really quiet. And I think, you know, they're trying to kind of maybe just kind of confidence-wise will it as like, you know, the chances are there, he's just not finishing. But if you look at the deployment, even the Red Wings are not going to him in some of these go-to situations. He's not on the top power play right now. When they had a 6-on-4 late in the game against Washington, he was not one of their six, even on the ice. They went to Robbie Fabry over him with the goalie pulled. So clearly this is a serious slump. And there's probably some people in Ottawa right now that are saying, everyone got really ahead of their skis about this, and his numbers look really similar now to what they were last season in Ottawa. You know, I think Alex DeBrincat is a legit every year, you know, 30 goal guy generally, but this is going to be too straight that he's going to be below 30. And I think that's notable. In terms of, you know, what it means for the Red Wings, obviously they want the goal scoring, but I think the biggest thing they're going to miss, you know, in this game against Pittsburgh is they're without their two top kind of identity guys, Michael Rasmussen and Andrew Kopp, two of their top matchup guys. You don't get to pick the matchup on the road, but you don't have that those two players there to slot in. So that to me is the biggest kind of story coming into this game, is that the Penguins really shut the Red Wings down last time. I don't know that the Red Wings have the kind of pieces right now to match up playoff style with those two guys out, maybe even with those two guys in. It's a flaw in their roster construction.
Does it seem like it's just going to be a combo of the Islanders and then either the Penguins, Red Wings, or Caps? Like I'm sorry, Philadelphia, but we're kind of done with them.
That was our entire show yesterday. It was me and me and DGB and
I didn't
Frankie
listen.
Throwing dirt on the Flyers. Like it's okay. It's over. Goodbye.
Okay.
See
you next year.
Yeah. We haven't talked about the Islanders enough, I don't think. Like they're going to be the one that everyone likes talking about Pittsburgh because it's Crosby, and the Red Wings have the kind of collapse angle, and so do the Caps. Just kind of moving right along under the surface has been the Islanders.
Totally.
It seems like they're over the last 3 days or 4 days, like their situation has improved pretty drastically. I think
they've won five in a row at this point. Five in a row for the Islanders.
Yeah, and I think they're the best team out of that group. Like I don't think this is an accident. Like no one should be all that surprised that there's been this attrition between Detroit and Washington and Pittsburgh. And then when New Jersey was involved and when, you know, Philly up until a few days ago, and then it's just sort of like steady as she goes, playing at, you know, a 91 point pace is the New York Islanders. So I'm not surprised by that. It's been goaltending for them, and it's been top end talent, and that'll get you a lot. If your goalie's good and your best guys are good, then you're gonna be in a decent spot.
Yeah, all of a sudden, some really New York Islander looking score lines, right, for them. They're giving up 1, 2, or 0 in every single game. And we've seen the Islanders make quite a bit of hay in the last 5 years with that exact formula. Now they also have Bo Horvat in the mix to support Matt Barzal. Defense core, you know, maybe it's not as sterling as it was 2 or 3 years ago, but it's still really good. The only thing I'm curious about is what's the fallout going to be from this Zibanejad Pelech drama when those two teams see each other again this weekend. You have poked the bear and the Rangers. You are not getting an easy ride in that game whatsoever.
Yeah.
What's the fallout going to be there?
That's going to be such a hugely important, but also like really fun game on Saturday. And it's a 12:30 start. I don't always love afternoon games, but that feels like a day where you could just park and sit and like have a nice little afternoon, because that's going to be a huge one. And the 4-2 win obviously was big for the Islanders. They're sitting in Metro 3 right now, 3 points up on the Penguins right now. Penguins are at 84. So yeah, that's 3. Don't ask me to do math. I'm a journalist. But yeah, that Saturday game's going to be unbelievable.
We need to try to, me and Sean were talking about this yesterday. We got to try to find a way to make that a first round playoff matchup. Like, we need the Rangers to drop 2 and then the Hurricanes win 2 and have them in the 2-3 slot in the first round, because what we saw in the last game, potentially what we're going to see this weekend, you have Patrick Waugh in the mix, you have Vinny Trocheck doing hilarious stuff to refs and whatever else. Like, we need that playoff series, because they haven't played in the playoffs since 1994. Did you guys know that? It's been 30 years since the Rangers and the Islanders have played in the first round. It needs to happen.
Wow.
There might be a simpler path. If the Rangers beat the Isles on Saturday and then the Isles drop that last game to the Penguins, I think this assumes that they're going to win out or whatever.
It's true.
But they jump them. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Like, I'm just assuming foolishly that the Isles are going to stay in third in the Metro. And we had the Penguins funeral a month ago. So what?
Not me.
What do I know? I did.
Not me.
Not nice.
The Western playoff race isn't as interesting, and it hasn't been. But we should say there's still 2 spots left. Edmonton beat Vegas last night. That was the Golden Knights' shot to clinch if they won in regulation, I believe. So Dallas, Vancouver, Colorado, Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Nashville have clinched 2 spots open, 1 in the wild card, 1 in the Pacific. But like, it's not like a super sexy debate. Like, it seems just pretty safe that the Kings and Golden Knights are eventually going to clinch, unless those two teams go in the tank and the Blues go off. But seems pretty safe that playoff, those 8 teams are going to be pretty set. I think Nashville is honestly the most like fun team to discuss in terms of like them clinching a playoff spot. They came back down from 2 goals against the Jets to force overtime. So that point punched them their ticket. And the moves they made, I don't know. It seemed like that was a team that was going to maybe be a seller at the deadline. And now they're in the playoffs after being sellers last year, buying out Duchesne, trading Ryan Johansson. I mean, the Johansson sell ended up being like good for that roster. It's not really like a selling off move, but I think the Preds are kind of the compelling team in that conversation, because everyone else is just like really good, you know. It's like, okay, great, yeah, the Oilers are in the playoffs, we knew that already.
Totally. And that's, I mean, I think we anticipated what we're seeing in the East, maybe out of the West, where you have like a handful of, you know, flawed teams going after the 2 wild card spots, right? Whether you're, you know, I think people expected on some level the Preds to be, you know, maybe that it would be Preds, Blues, Wild, Kraken, or whatever, like fighting this out. But the Preds have been able to have elevated themselves like past them for sure over the last few weeks.
And not for nothing, in terms of the Golden Knights, Tomáš Hertl's played his first 2 games for Vegas now.
Yeah, definitely. It's Vegas is, you know, about to be a fully operational in time for the playoffs. Yeah, it's you know, the West is what it is. I think the issue there is matchups. Like we keep trying to figure out who's going to play who, and we can't quite do that yet. Outside of Avs Jets, that seems like one that we're pretty locked into, but you can't quite write anything in pen other than that.
I think Max dropped out again, so we're all a little bit disheveled. Sean had a big sandwich for dinner last night. I had a carbon monoxide alarm going off in my lovely Utica residence.
Those are the two leading causes of early morning grogginess are carbon monoxide poisoning and big sandwich. That's typically what happens.
And Max doesn't have internet connection.
Max is at a courtyard by Marriott with very mediocre
Wi-Fi. The download speeds are just
goodbye,
not
everybody.
Great. I will say I didn't get carbon monoxide poisoning, but the alarm went off enough times to be very concerned. So I ended up spending a bunch of my night like packing up all of my stuff and getting a maintenance man in here to tell me if it's safe to be here, which resulted in me being outside of the apartment, driving around Utica at midnight and getting back in around one. So don't let anyone tell you that covering hockey is fun. It's not.
Let's go.
Also, I don't know why I called the Jazz the Lady Jazz. I think I need to take a nap or something. I think it was just because I'm so used to like talking about if the Penguins get a women's team, I just be like, whatever, the Lady Penguins. Like, obviously don't call them that. It was a joke. I don't think Max is coming back. I'm just gonna end.
That's what I'm saying. Time to go. Goodbye. Take a nap.
Okay. The outro's not in here. Jeff deleted it. Thanks everyone for listening to this episode of the Athletic Hockey Show. I think there's a deal somewhere. Oh, it's back. Oh, there is no disc. There is no deal right now. Never mind. Oh, Max is back.
Come on, let's go.
Nobody Max, move. Nobody move.
We're ending. We were ending the show. Do you want to say thanks to everybody for listening?
Everybody, thank you so much for support for Little Old Podcast. It means the world.
Thank you to Marriott Bonvoy.
Are you not a Gold Elite member? Don't you get premium Wi-Fi if you have like status?
I usually do. I don't know. There's only one Wi-Fi at this hotel. It's like a public.
Sean's like, why are you? Let's go. End the podcast. Max just got back. He's frozen again. Okay. Mendez, Laz, CJ, and LeBron of the next Athletic Hockey Show on Monday. Max and his Wi-Fi are off tomorrow as well. We'll see everybody next week. I'm back on the Athletic Hockey Show.